Amen. So, we've been going through this couple of paragraphs, and the last part that we were talking about had to do with this reality that we're called to this, we're called to the sufferings of Christ. It's not a thing that we just stumble into, but we all are called to it, but it takes an understanding of that. And one of the things that we touched on at the very last of the last class was that at the end of that, and when we get over here to our little map, which you don't have to see for right now, but when we get over to that in the corridor, you see that the last part of it, the very last part of it, you come into this phase that's called you should inherit a blessing. Okay, that's the third part. And basically the ending of the process of passing through the sufferings of Christ. And again, we've used the term corridor. I think it's fit. I think it's fit in 1 Peter real well, and we'll see that even more because we'll go through some things. But usually, when we think about blessings or when we think about sufferings, we don't think that I'd go through that to get a blessing in that sense. Usually, we don't even think it's the sufferings of Christ. We're just suffering, and we're not aware that there are certain things that God wants to do in us at that time that we can be with Him as He was with us at the cross and through the trial. And but it's more than that. It is a manifestation of His Spirit within us, that same Spirit, that crucified Christ, that Lamb of God. And it is a manifestation of that Lamb that is on the throne that is within us. And so, and therefore, there is a blessing that comes at the end of that, which, you know, in 1 Peter, it has a lot of different angles of that. But one of it is just the blessing is that we brought Him glory the way that He wanted it, instead of the plan being escape. So I want to pick up on the notes that I was reading, but we were in, we're jumping around through some of this, so let me just pick up where we left off. These specific kinds of trials are not just meant to refine you with the hope that you will transition from a beast to a lamb. And this can be in people's minds that the sufferings of Christ are, it's really good because it's meant to refine me so that I can transition from being a beast to a lamb, which is actually not the deal. The deal is he kind of wants you to be there when you go into it, you know. Now, yes, there are different phases of that. If it's your first time or your first 100 times, maybe you're still trying to figure out if this is God or not. But there is a truth that you can get into those sufferings with Christ, start off not so good in what we call the first phase, and I call that the the vision of something. Anyway, valley of what? I'm making that decision right now. The valley of decision. Because there's an adjustment that has to be made, but an adjustment is not the same as trying to come up with it, you know. I mean, it's like, okay, so with this picture right here, I'm outside of that. I'm over here and it's over there. I'm not going through it right now. But I'm seeking the Lord, and I'm seeking the Lord specifically in this area. And I'm doing things like reading 1 Peter, although this is not even close to being confined only to one book. It is vastly universal. And so I'm not just wanting to be a good Christian. I'm not just wanting to not you know, judge back or say things back negatively. I'm not trying to do that. I'm desiring to be with the Lamb and His nature in these things, and allowing Him already, you know, that He can come forth, because He's the only one that can truly have this proper spirit. And that's where He gets the glory, is that we let Him live in us in that way, which is, it's huge to Him. And I know that sounds crazy to some people, but it's huge to Him. And the Lord's been dealing with me lately on things that are huge to Him. And I don't claim to have grasped it yet, but it is incredibly... Okay, passing along now. So then I'm studying, I'm seeking, I'm desiring, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, form Him in me in that way. I don't want to, you know, and the thing comes, it becomes strange fire when what? When we still haven't figured out that there's something out there that's of sufferings that wants us to be partakers with Him. There's something of that, and we haven't figured it out. So it's strange fire, and we're surprised again. How many times do we have to be surprised? I think we're all given 3 times. No, not really. No, there's some of you. No. He's going to work with you forever, you know, on that. But it's in this life that stuff's going to happen. That's where we really prove this. That's where the trial of our faith is as gold to Him in the midst of this junk, not when we're in heaven and going, oh, I've been real good today, and I didn't talk back to anybody who doesn't talk back. You know. So let me just read that again. These specific kinds of trials are not just meant to refine you with the hope that you will transition from a beast to a lamb. Instead, they are lamb trials. I put that in parentheses. They're lamb trials. They're not devil trials, even though you have evildoers, and even though you got, you know, really bad things going on. These are not devil trials, they're lamb trials. They are specifically meant by God, but in basically almost every situation when you get into with this, not maybe not all, because I don't know all, but when you get into it, maybe He's using the lamb as a tool, and we studied that in one of the recent classes and stuff like that. I mean, the devil is just a tool, but he really is a tool in his evil doership when it comes to the sufferings of Christ. Okay? So, to understand the fear is always, well, this is going to destroy me or whatever. Well, I will tell you that it will take down some things that have not been the Lord. It will. And that depends on how open to Him you are. I would say that the many examples that are given to us in the Old Testament, they're takedowns. You know what I mean? And, it can destroy your ministry and can destroy your reputation, can destroy all this kind of stuff. But in truth, you will probably end up on a more pure path of true ministry with a true heart instead of it being all about you or what you can do or what people will think of you. Well, all of that, you know, you would say, well, that's what God wants. No, you know, wrong tree, knowledge of good and evil. You're eating off the good. You're eating the good fruit. You're saying, oh, I won't eat any of that bad stuff, but I'll eat this because, you know, don't you think? I mean, it doesn't say this, but if the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it does have two different kinds of fruit, good and evil. Don't you think that Adam and then Eve and then Adam probably only ate of the good fruit if it was different? Don't you think that's a possibility? You know, I'm a good person. So he told me not to eat of it, but I'm going to eat the good. Okay, well, you're not a good person, that's true. But you get the same result from God and from the enemy. You get the same result, whichever one you eat, it's not the tree of life, which we have a big thing of the cross over here. The tree of life, that he died on the tree. He died on the tree. He died on the tree. And then he rose, but he was exalted for his spirit and self-giving, which manifested what God truly is like. And so there on that cross, you get the clearest picture of the nature of God. You get the clearest picture of what he's like and who he's like. And, you know, we can see a slaughtered lamb on the throne, but we don't see all the abuse that makes him look slaughtered on the throne at the end, right? You see that at the cross, you know. And we can go, okay, well, I'm glad he did that for me, so I won't go to hell. But if you ever had to go through that, you would go, man, I should have been more in tune not with not going to hell or having a great ministry. I should have been more in tune with what this lamb, slaughtered lamb on the cross, really is and did. And, you know, what he went through. So, there are lamb trials that you've entered into like Jesus did during his trial and at the cross. But do I mean by lamb trials, what, as I just started telling you what that was. Why are they asking me this? What I mean is that these trials are not so that you can obtain the lamb spirit, but because he has already been formed somewhat in you, and God's hope is that you will not give in to fleshly responses, but by his life and nature respond. All right. So I hope that clarifies something for somebody. Because we can get all, you know, we can build all of this stuff to where, you know, we got all, it's a little bit like having all the right stones, but putting them in all the wrong places. Not understanding that this is different. This sufferings is not the same as the, you know, other places in the scriptures that talk about it. It's not the same deal. So that last sentence said, God's hope is that you will not give in to fleshly responses, but by his life and nature, you'll respond by that. All right. So you can, okay. So a person can be in this class or study 1 Peter or read a book or something like that and go, okay, I'm going to figure this out. Number one, I know that I'm not supposed to, you know, start cussing or yelling and accusing them, even though they're guilty. Right? Even though they're guilty, you're not. Not here. You're supposed to bear that. But you bear it by Christ. But you can say, okay, so I'm going to do that. I know that now. I've got that. Well, you just wait till they come at you. Because they're not going to be sweet little, they're evil doers. Say, what do you do for a living? Evil. This is what they do. You think you're called to be suffering? They're called to make you suffer. You know, it's like, okay, I did today's work. Can't wait to find somebody else. No, I mean, when they come at you, man, and they'll get others and they'll form a group or something to come torment you. I mean, you know, you had the soldiers, you know, jabbing spears in his side and slapping him and mocking him and all this stuff. But you got other people coming along and, you know, well, you know, you saved others, but you cannot save yourself. And of course, if you're the Lamb of God, you cannot. You will not. I mean, you can call 10,000 angels, but you save others, but you, that's the Father's business. Do you understand what that means? That's the Father. That's not your business. This is Adonai territory. Amen? So, so 1 Peter 4:13 says, but rejoice, this is a continuation of what I was reading, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. All right, so now I remember when I was, you know, a Christian. And meaning that I was wrapped up in Christian culture and society and didn't really understand the heart of the Lord or how we could be with Him. To me, I won't even tell you all the stuff He did for me. I won't even tell you. I mean, my life would be ruined, way worse. Me handling my own life would have been ruined way worse than legions of evildoers. But I, by the grace of God, the Spirit of God began to move and to show me, you know, some of these things and began to open my heart, not just my eyes. And I know how easy it is to hear teaching and write it down and go, okay, I got this. And hear it again and go, okay, that's two times. And then again, oh man, I bet this is so in me. But when those evildoers come at you, they got stuff they've been using for a long time. And it can throw you. And so in the Valley of Decision, the little blue part here, you can maybe get hit, you know, and kind of spin like a top for a while. Yeah, well, that's why it's called the Valley of Decision. You can say, I'm not going to rail back. I'm not going to say all this stuff and blame them and go, well, you're the one. You did this. And, you know, I didn't do anything to you, as a matter of fact. Why are you so vicious? And the evildoers say, because the Lord sent us. Remember, this is my job. See, here's my badge. All of your Bible learning on this subject is going to fall down. If it literally falls down before you even get into the red zone to score, you will end up going through a mess of stuff, but that's not the end of it. God wants you to learn from this. He wants His Son more than you can imagine. So he's not going, you know, you're horrible. Now, I know what's happened in me many times, and it's almost inconsolable sometimes, because I so thought I would have done better, and I so wanted that to bring glory to Him, and I wanted to be with Him. I wanted to be with Him in that spirit, and let His Spirit come out of me in that way. And that's where, you know, it's the old proverbial riding a bicycle and you fall over into the dust and start crying and your knees bleeding and whatever, you know, you get up. Dust yourself off, get back on and learn balance. Because you lean too far one way, you know, you got to learn balance. And if you learn balance, you'll go one day, I'm doing it. And then after a while, you'll say, oh, it's as easy as riding a bicycle. Right? That's what you'll say. And people go, really? Oh, you're so wise. Speak more to me. Yeah, it's got spokes too, man. It's cool. A little bell, ding-a-ling-a-ling. You know, we're nowhere near where we need to be, but every process, every time that it comes around, if you start recognizing it, that's the first thing. You have to recognize what you're in. If you don't recognize it, then, you know, you'll let the devil beat the fool out of you and rebuke God. And I, you know, we'll get into more and more and more of that. But when I was young, I remember reading scriptures that said, you know, that rejoice, you know, rejoice in sufferings. I'm going, you know, who's erasing part of the Bible and putting this in? We're supposed to rejoice in Jesus' deliverance of us from every problem. This is bad advice, you know, and I don't know if I can, you know, want to do this because I got a feeling that it's in a context I just don't understand, but it doesn't really mean that. You ever, it couldn't possibly mean that, you know, like take up your cross, deny yourself and follow. No, he meant sit and let him bless you until the blessings is overflow. Well, he does do that. He does so many things. But there is rejoice, but rejoice in as much as you are. Okay, we hear rejoice as much as you are suffering. That's the way we read that. But it doesn't say that. It says rejoice in as much as we are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That's something, I'm partaking of something of Christ. You go, well, I don't really want that category. Well, you know, this isn't demanded. It's for those whosoever will. It's for those who would desire to be with him in a certain way that is totally contrary to our natural mind. Everybody's natural mind. And, you know, if anybody's struggling with this, the concepts that are going forth, anybody struggling with it? I struggled a lot. But I'll tell you, the best way to do this is just be like, this was for years my little way of dealing with stuff. I said, Lord, just like you told Mary that she was going to bring forth Jesus being a virgin, and she pondered that, I don't understand this, just like she probably didn't understand it. And I'm pondering it, and I'm holding it, and I'm asking you, I'm not rejecting it, and I'm not accepting it. I'm pondering it. And I'm asking you to throw out, if my thoughts take me a place I shouldn't go, or if the way Randy said it is wrong, or Lord, you take away that which is wrong and reveal to me and in me that which is truly your heart. Okay? So one of the things that that does is you don't have to divide it up and figure out what's right and wrong, because that's probably the wrong tree again. You say, Lord, you take it away. Now, you have to trust the Lord that he's capable of doing that. But you take away, I'm having thoughts here. if I'm right, because we're all right, every man's right in his own eyes, then show me. And if I'm wrong, then show me. Anyway, it's just a good thing to be able to pause. It's like a pause button that I have when I get into any situation, anywhere, you know. Like I said, I was in a conference once, and I heard a guy say some stuff that I just went, well, that ain't right. I never heard that before. And the Lord said, well, you hadn't heard everything. You don't know everything. You hadn't heard everything. Just because you haven't heard that before, does that mean that's not true? You know, stay open, but don't swallow it hook, line, and sinker, and let me show it to you. There you go. Okay. You know, I don't want to be crossways with you. I just want to be the crossway with you. All right. Inasmuch, rejoice inasmuch as that you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. All right. Where does his glory appear in this chart? Kelly? The yellow, this part, this last part, the third quarter. And that's when we get to that point, and it's not that far off, where I'm going to go through these, and I'm going to show you, here's a scripture out of 1 Peter that fits in the blue box in the beginning. Here's one that fits in the red. Here's one that fits in the yellow. Oh, look, here's another one for the red. And then, you see what I mean? And that will tell you, if you can do that, that will tell you that you're making some progress in 1 Peter. Now that's, you need much more than that, but I'm just telling you, that'll help you to identify these sections and parts and things. Because for us, it's just a book with five chapters. But we can find them actually fitting right here. But it's not just three things. It's the salvation of the soul, evildoers, Adonai, helpers. It's trying to understand that there's this whole, I'll say that word again, there's this whole culture going on when you're there. And it involves basically these things and probably more. Because I didn't even know these till he started showing me. All right. So, There's rejoice and there's exceeding joy. This is 1 Peter 4:13 still. See, all you got out of us partakers of suffering. there's rejoice and then there's exceeding joy. Yeah. You know, there's an awakening that starts happening when you're in the middle of it, and then it's real, and then you're seeing it's real, and it's not just what you're doing that's real. You're seeing that this thing really, that Peter was onto something major, and we can enter into it. All right, so what these sufferings consist of is that evildoers may have falsely attacked and accused you, as in Jesus' trial, right? Evildoers falsely attack you and accuse you, just like in Jesus' trial, though you and Jesus are innocent. Jesus was innocent. Again, the purpose of the trials are not to form Christ in you in a greater way. I mean, it is to let Christ that is in you handle things that are rough for even Christians to handle. But it's how we learn his nature. It is. It is how we be with him. That's a better way of saying it. It's how we be with him in his nature. So, okay, so let's just picture being with him in his nature. Let's picture that. And then let's picture knowing the teachings of being with him in his nature, but being over here and he's right over here. You see a difference? That's a big difference between knowing all the terminology and being able to quote it and impress people and go, you know, look, this is so-and-so, you know. And it's like, you know, that's, you know, this thought came to me the other day. I thought, you know, no wonder teachers are going to receive the greater judgment. No wonder. Because the potential is there to just learn something and teach it. Just to learn it and teach it. And you know, and people are more impressed with that than a prophet who's being beat up and, you know, accused and, you know, right? Think of the contrast there, you know. And the word, even though the words prophets are used a lot in the New Testament, you see that the apostles were more akin to prophets in that, all of, like, just listen to what Paul says that he goes through, you know, all the things that he's gone through. But he's done it for the Lord, whether it's for the Lord or by the Lord or in the Lord or whatever. It's going through tremendous amount of things, not just to teach people, but to be an earthen vessel that can shine forth a treasure that looks like a slaughtered lamb, that is so unrealistic to the average American that Jesus is a slaughtered lamb. You know, it goes against everything that they're seeking to produce and have and even glorify him. And so they run from partaking and maybe run to teaching. I don't know. But I know that teaching is... teachers are going to receive the greater condemnation. Anyway, all that was running through my mind the other day. I'll read that last sentence again. Again, the purpose of the trials are not to form Christ in you in a greater way, but that the Lamb that we already have established somewhat, maybe not perfectly, but somewhat, within us can manifest outwardly to his glory. And Jesus, the Lamb, will manifest outwardly. That will bring glory to us in a not in the, I'm sorry to say, Christian way, because bringing glory to us is that we get a lot of glory. Bringing glory to the Godhead is that they got to glorify the other. So I have to, you know, qualify some of these things. But Jesus' glory is that we let him live in a situation that was hard, but we wanted to be with him. It's his glory is also that he came through that to glorify the Father. The Father's glorified in the Son. So, again, this all goes back to well before matter was around. It's just Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right. So, the example given to us in Peter is not just that Jesus would suffer for us. Now, we're familiar with that, right? Jesus suffered for us. We're familiar with that. But the example given to us in Peter is not just that Jesus would suffer for us as he did at the cross, but that his sufferings on the cross would now be an example to us. Now, If you don't know where that scripture is in 1 Peter, you need to, you know, you need to write it on your mirror. And every day when you're going, I'm beautiful, just look at that. You know? But now his sufferings would now be an example to us, so that when these situations happen to us, then we will follow his example of not retaliating back, but blessing. 1 Peter 2:21-23, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now, if you don't know anything about the work of an Adonai or of God the Father or God the Holy Spirit functioning in that realm, then it can be hard, because you're trusting for something that you can't really lay hands on with the hands of faith. The wording is perfect here. When he was reviled, reviled not. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. God will take care of this. God will deal with this. Maybe you'll never see how it's taken care of. Maybe it won't happen in your lifetime. Maybe it won't happen before your eyes. It doesn't matter. If the true Spirit of Christ is in you, that's shoved out over into a compartment called God the Father, or the one who judges righteously. And it's that file cabinet is shut as far as you're concerned. That's now his business. It's not your business. It's no longer your business. It's his business. And, you know, I would suggest you also give him the key to that. You know, because you'll be sneaking over at night going, he doesn't see me, and I'm a, he hadn't done anything yet. Oh, here he comes. We're sneaky. We are. These are important things. Really, really. And they're part of this whole picture. So if it's not, you know, you can't just walk in with two or three little things that somebody taught you and go, okay, you know, it's a little bit like the seven sons of Sceva. You know those guys? Anybody remember those guys? It's funny. What do we remember them for? Thinking they could handle the enemy when they shouldn't have been messing with it at all. Anyway. How are we doing up there? We had just discovered that we had a calling that we were not aware of, but it's mentioned in 1 Peter 3:9. But now, here in 1 Peter 2:21-23, it is being confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses that we have a calling. And we'll get into that, because the calling motif, if you will, is used more than just those two times. And sometimes it's under a different word than not exactly calling. I forget the one that I was going to say, but so with that reality in mind, we must understand that God's goal pertaining to that which constitutes the sufferings of Christ is not to intervene in our unjust situations, and that by means of that intervention, turn our captivity, but for us to manifest him in a specific kind of way. 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, because you're in those sufferings and trials, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, but that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, and might I add, much more precious to God than that of gold that perisheth, because that's the way God looks at it. Though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. Okay, and so one of the things that we will find regularly in the pattern, and if you choose to try to start looking through 1 Peter and fit scriptures into any segment of the corridor, you will find that the appearing of Jesus is down here in the golden compartment. It's the end. It's the end of the sufferings. It's the end of it. It's the appearing of Christ. And that kind of, you know, I mean, when he appears, there's no more issues. You don't have any more issues. Your issues linger when you have issues. And he hadn't appeared. But that's the beauty of this, is that, you know, you may go in and flop right here in the valley of decision. Mess up. You may next time go in and get into the heat of the thing and you're afraid of the flames and so you drop out. You may go all the way over here and there's not an appearing that has washed away. It's genuinely like this. It is like there's a new heaven and a new earth. And you're not living in the same old Christian heaven. You're living in a new heaven. Wherein is... All right. So, I guess I could go a little longer. Does it feel like this has been a long class? No? Okay. Sometimes I get tired of hearing this guy talk. All right. So we must realize that in order to fellowship with him in the manner he desires, we are in need of these specific kinds of situations. There's no way you can fellowship with him. Fellowship is not... Okay, let's make this clear. Some of you already know this, but let me just make it clear. Fellowship is not in sitting down with Jesus and talking his head off while you explain all the stuff you've been through. And then you get up going, oh, I feel so refreshed. You know, I feel better. I mean, I'm one of the best counselors in the whole world. Did you know that? I really am. I'm one of the best counselors. Said, oh, that's pretty heady, Randy. Yeah, I let people come in and they just talk and then they talk and they go through their stuff and everything. And then after a while, it's like, oh, well, this is really great. This is so refreshing. Thanks for all the stuff you shared. They leave and I go, I don't think I really said too much. So I don't know enough to talk. All right. So we are in need, and there's not going to be any true fellowship with him in his sufferings if we don't understand that this kind of fellowship, not suffering, this kind of fellowship requires these elements, these evildoers and these helpers to come in and, you know, Adonai to intervene and different aspects that, you know, we look at all of that and we just go, this is horrible. This is the greatest attack of the devil I've ever had. And it's God allowing that because there's something greater than getting free from an attack of the devil. To him, there is. I mean, I'll throw this out. I mean, I just wonder over the element that I know for a fact that God, Almighty God, something that was and is to come, that's eternal, is way more powerful than a fallen angel. Now, I know that. I mean, I know it. I know that. So, and I knew it fairly early. And so, you know, it makes you ponder other things. So I'm going, okay, but if you're way more powerful, why is he still here after Jesus' death? And think about that if you've never thought about it. Why is he still here after Jesus' death? Well, he's so strong. The devil's so strong. No. 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 Jesus at a certain juncture said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast down. Anybody remember that? Now, where did he say that at? And he's talking about the cross. He's talking about going to the cross and dying. So you go, okay, yes, yes. You know, and then you get saved, and then you read, and then you go, the devil's still here. I didn't say he was cast out of the world. I said he was cast down where you're at. You know? And he's still causing all kind of stuff. And you go, why does God allow that? And I mean, I can understand a lot of it, you know, some terrible things that the enemy can do. And then, of course, people go, well, why did God do that? Or why did God allow that? But I'm going to say this. Many times he allows that stuff because he needs to show us that we're not the God of what Christianity has made him. And I'm not saying everything about Christianity is wrong and da-da-da-da. I'm not. I'm saying that we have formulated him in such a way that will help Christians who go through something that has no answer based on their version of Christianity. Even you're going through something similar to this. Your family is going through something similar to this. And then people start freaking out and going, well, why would God do this? Or why did he allow this? And all this kind of stuff. And they're stuck because of our small picture of God. They're stuck. They can't, why would it? This is, well, I'm going to quit God. If this is the kind of God, I've heard people say that. If this is the kind of God that he is, then I don't want nothing to do with him. Well, there's more to it than that, but if people had an understanding really of God, not of God, how he deals with us, if they just understand how God sent his only son, his beloved son, to die on a cross for us. You know, the angels desire to look into this. I can just see that some of them who went with Satan go, why would he do that? You know, I mean, it befuddles people, but it's absolutely clear if you understand God that was before the foundation of the world and not God that's trying to help, you know, puppies and stuff like that, you know. I don't know why I say stuff like that, but anyway. We can't understand that them within their self and the way that they would do it is that they would give themselves. They live off of a sacrificial nature. I mean, you know, and I'm sorry for getting off on this, but I mean, it's just the fact that, you know, God, have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know what, when the flood was going to happen, or when it happened, if Noah could have just shut the door before the mosquitoes got on, the two mosquitoes, everything would be a lot better. Well, how about this? God creates the Garden of Eden, puts Adam and Eve in it. Now, there's a serpent in there. And I've said this to y'all before, but it's still my mind. I go, okay, there was evil in there before the devil was even talked about. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? Okay, well, you know, explain that to me, you know. Well, I know why. I don't need an explanation. But you know, we never even noticed evil was there. We, you know, when we talk about evil and then go to the Garden of Eden, we point to the snake and you go, yeah, there it is. Everything started with you. You're the bad person. You're, okay. Well, okay. I ain't going to wrestle with you over that. But that serpent to God could have been like a mosquito. He could have just done that before he even got over there to Adam and Eve. Right? I mean, and what am I saying? I'm saying, is there a possibility we need to take some steps back and say, maybe we don't know you like you want to be known. We know you like we have formed you. Instead of us being formed in your image, we formed you in our image. Help us to understand and to be released from this mindset that is so prevalent and hard to go against because that's all we hear. Oh, it's just a thought. All right, let me see if I've got a stopping point here. Well, I don't. So next time I'll have to reread all of that. Yep. Yep. And then reteach it. No, not really. Father, we love you and we do want to know you the way you are. Father, we have so many questions about the Bible, so many questions about you, so many questions. The world, the Christians have so many questions that are just not even questions if we begin to know you instead of know a religion that you're not even an adherent of. You're not following a religion. You and the Son and the Holy Spirit are just being according to your nature. And you're wanting us to be born again of another nature and another life. But if we get that and we pray for it and even receive it and don't understand it, Father, then we are of all men most miserable. Because we have within us the very seed of everything, and we won't water it properly to get it to grow the way it would naturally. We will keep trying to treat it like a bonsai tree and trim this and make it grow that way and then do this to it. Father, let your Spirit touch our hearts. We're so fixed and fixated. Let your Spirit touch our hearts for Jesus' heart. Let Jesus' heart touch our heart for you, Father. Let the Holy Spirit touch our heart for him. And let us enter into something that was and is to come, that was around before Jews, that was around before Christians. That is the only thing that's eternal. Unless we join with that which is eternal. May our understanding of eternal life become transformed by a seeing of you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.